Yeah, here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." So who is God? He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the verse says. He's the Father of mercies, Psalms 106, verse 1, and He's the God of all comfort. So what does He do? Well, it says He's the God of all comfort. So you know what you're going to find out there? A man does what he is. God does what He is. He comforts. We know that He sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And that, He talked about wherefore comfort one another with these words in the devotion this morning. So guess what? We get comfort from God because God is the God of comfort. Yes, so you know what? You can't give out what you don't have.
That's right. Exactly right.
We'll say that again. You know, you think, well, how am I going to minister peace? Am I going to be able to give peace to somebody? I've got to be able to have gotten peace from God at some point to go through something. And I've got to be able to have gotten that peace to be able to give that peace out to somebody else. I can't give you $5 if I don't have $5 in my pocket.
That's right.
Now, God does what He is, and you're going to do what you are. That's why it's very important for us to be honest and have integrity and be things that we're supposed to be in private. Why? Because if you're a devil in private, you're not going to be able to give out God in public. And that's what a lot of people don't realize is that's like as far as being able to be a good minister and a good steward for God. We've got to ask God to help us in our private life, because if we live like the devil in private, we're not going to be able to give out what God has given us good things. So what we have to do is ask God to help us with our private life. And you know what you'll find out? As you get closer to God, He's going to give out and give out and give out more things, and you better give out more.
That's
you better
right.
give out more. And so that's what He's the God of comfort. He's able to give you that comfort because that's what He has. All right, here's another thing. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? Why is He giving you comfort in tribulation? Watch this. It's got a reason. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So what He's saying is you're going through something, God's giving you comfort. So whenever you get the comfort, He's doing that so you can give it out to others whenever they go through something that they're needing the comfort of God. You receive comfort, you give it out. That's why you don't hold that in. A lot of times, like you're talking about ministering, a lot of times He gives that as an avenue to be able to witness. You don't just walk up and say, "Hey man, you've been saved, I'm going to give you the gospel right now." It don't work like that. You got to go up, and maybe somebody's needing comfort in an area, a peace in an area, and the Lord will work around that conversation. And because you've went through something similar, that conversation will work back around and say, and you're able to say, "You know how I got through that? How'd you get through it? I'll tell you how. Because God got me through it." And then you're able to point them the direction they need to go. Because you've gotten that comfort from God, and you couldn't have got through it without God. And you know it, and then you're able to point them to it. All right, and He says this. And in that verse number 4, it says, by the comfort wherewith we are ourselves are comfort of God. You know what you're going to find out? God lets you suffer so you can comfort others. And oftentimes what you're finding out is everything's happening to you for a reason. There's a reason for it. Don't let it go to waste. That's the thing. When a bad thing happens, don't let that thing go to waste. And don't say, "Well, that's happened to me. My life's ruined now. And I've had all these bad thoughts and all this stuff. And it can't be used for anything." That's not so.
That's right.
We can use all that stuff to help someone else. You can say, "Man, I tell you what, I was a soup sandwich in my mind, and God got me through it, and look where I'm at now. Look, if He got me through it, look what He can do with you." That's what we've got to realize. You can help somebody else. Verse number 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ," now I got that underlined in my Bible, "of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Now why you say the sufferings of Christ? Because look here, a lot of people suffering, and it's not the sufferings of Christ, it's the sufferings of their sinful flesh. We can suffer for two different ways.
Right.
We can suffer when it's our fault, and we can suffer for Christ. And let me give you a couple verses here. Look over here at Philippians chapter 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter number 3, a few books over. And I want to show you a couple of these things about the sufferings. So when something abounds, he said it abounds, it overflows. So what you're going to find out is as the giving is, so is the consolation. So you're gonna find out a lot of times. Some people, you say, why they got so much grace and they're able to get through this, that, and other? Because the more you suffer, the more grace God gives you to get through it. I've told you before. A lot of people say, man, I couldn't have handled that if I went through that situation. Well, you don't know. You've never been in that situation. You've never had to have God give you that much grace before. So, but you got to suffer for the right reason. A lot of times we blame God. We're not suffering for God. We're suffering for ourselves. Look at verse number 10. Philippians 3 verse 10. That I may know Him. You want to know Him? Watch this. A lot of times we forget. We want to know the Lord, but watch what it says. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship. Oh, this is tough, man. I'm telling you, of His sufferings. Being made conformable unto His death. He died, so guess what? We got to die daily. And you know what? Part of that suffering, we go through that suffering. If you want to be in fellowship with Him, Christ suffered and we're going to suffer. So you know what He's doing? A lot of times He's saying, hey man, you want to have some fellowship with me? I'm going to let you have a bad day today. Man, that's tough. Man, that's tough. Why? Because you know what happened? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm trying my best to rejoice always. Like, I'm going to tell you what, Saturday I had one of the best days I've had in a long time. Just as far as a work day. It just seemed like everything went on without a hitch, and it just seemed like it was like a perfect day. You know what I tried to do? Thank you, Lord. I get out, man, I go do this other loop. I had a couple other little things I had to do that's kind of out of order, and it just went just off without a hitch, and I tried to make sure I rejoiced. Why? Because every day is not like that. And you know what? I'm trying my best in my spiritual walk with the Lord to praise Him as much when things are going good, as much as I pray and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me when things are going bad. Why? Because oftentimes, you know how He has to have close fellowship. A lot of times people get to pray and storms come through or something. They say, hey, I hadn't heard them voices in a long time. I had some voices coming up I hadn't heard in a long time. Man, that's good right here. It's good. Well, see, a lot of times we go looking and say, man, look at all that devastation and all that stuff. The Lord's looking saying, man, what a blessing. I heard a lot of prayers I hadn't heard in a long time. See, we look at things as just, God looks at those houses and He can see the future, and He knows every one of them is going to be dust and ash one of these days.
That's right.
He's looking on the inside and saying, hey, it drove so-and-so to pray, and you don't know how many people got saved because of that, and so many people witnessed because of that, and churches helped because of that, and all kind of things. We say, well, all we do is look at the temporary aspect. The sufferings of Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4.
That's right.
1 Peter chapter number 4. This will help us. Why? Because Peter has practical application to us, but it's got a whole lot of tribulational stuff. And you know what's going to be going on in the tribulation? They're going to be suffering. And so we can get some good application out of this, because if you want to look at suffering, you're not going to see no suffering. Like right now, we may suffer, but y'all, we not suffering nowhere near like what people are going to be who go through that. It's getting, we're seeing the onset of it in America, where people are getting to where they hate Christians more and more and more. But y'all, there's other countries where if you're a Christian, they'll cut your head off.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You know what they would do at certain periods of time? They'd take Christians, and if they found out you were of the way, they'd put you in a bag full of rattlesnakes and throw you over a bridge. That's what they thought of Christians. And you know what? Sufferings. Now look, nowadays, most people, if somebody says something bad about them, man, old so-and-so don't like me. Well, if that's the worst I've got to suffer, look, that's fine with me. Just because so-and-so don't like me. Now, y'all, we're gonna suffer some. But I want to show you something. It's got to be the right kind of suffering. 1 Peter chapter number 4. It says this. Look down at verse number 15. You got to have the right kind of suffering. It says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief.
That's right.
Or as an evildoer.
That's right.
Now, not just, you know, we think of murdering and being a thief as something bad. It's just evildoing. Let me show you what's in the company of murdering, theft, and evildoing. Or as a busybody.
Uh-huh.
And other men's matters. That's pretty bad. To God, being a busybody, that's why, like you see all this stuff going on Facebook. Now, I'm telling y'all this. I know some people use that for a ministry, and I understand that. But most people can't handle it. You know what they're doing? They get over there and say, oh, so-and-so's doing this. No, so-and-so's doing that. And all these little things. I'm not saying Facebook just easy to to mess with. I'm telling you though, some people are so nosy. They're so worried about what this family's doing, what they got going on, what this family's doing, what they got going. Y'all, he said, don't suffer as a busybody in other men's mind. That's not the right kind of sufferings. Watch verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian.
There you go.
See, for Christ, he said over in 1 Corinthians. It says this. Let him not be ashamed. If you're suffering as a Christian, don't you be ashamed about
That's
it.
Right.
Why are you getting closer to the Lord? Look at, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
Amen.
He said, if you're suffering as a Christian, you know you're suffering right. You know what he's saying? Glorify God. You know, Peter in early Acts, they were preaching the name of Jesus. They said, don't preach in that name anymore. They kept preaching in the name, and they whipped them and beat them, and they went out glorifying God that they were able to suffer for Christ's sake. Y'all, that's the kind of attitude we've got to have, because we're living in a time now we've got to realize you're going to have a hard time. And let me tell you this, if you're trying to live godly, the devil not going to like that. And a lot of times during the week we wonder, man, my mind is just, what is going on? Sometimes you get mad. You're fighting enemies. You're literally going through a spiritual battle. And the Bible says over there, you war in your mind.
That's right.
The battlefield's up here. And the devil tries to mess you up mentally. Why? Because he knows if he mess you up here and get everything, the whole thing is trying to get you messed up here. So you're suffering as a Christian, trying to do what's right. And he said, if you got the sufferings of Christ abounding, you overflow in you, he said, your consolation also abound. You're going to get that much consoling from Christ. You're going to get that much comfort. He said, he's not forgetting that.
That's right.
He's not forgetting you. Don't you think for a minute he's forgotten you. All right, verse number 6, it says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. We getting afflicted, and it's actually for you. Why? Because you're seeing what we're going through, and you're able to get strength from it. Say, man, that brother's going through it. You ever see some people, you think, man, they're going through it. They are going through it. And a lot of times you get comfort from it. Why? Because it gives you a chance to pray, and you watch somebody else go through it. And it's tough to watch them go through that thing. It says, and salvation. Now, this is not talking about the saving of the soul. He's writing to save people. So what is that? That's the salvation in the sense of their Christian walk. That's why you have to look at verses in their context. One place over in Timothy, he said this one lady be saved in childbearing. Well, having a child won't save her, but the context of that salvation is her testimony. Whenever she's pregnant, she's got all those emotions going on, and she needs to follow the Lord during that time period. Well, see, that's why right here it says, for your consolation and salvation, that is, it's going to help you as a Christian in your sanctification. That's getting closer to the Lord and getting separated from the world. All right, and so they are already saved. It's just speaking of their Christian life. All right, and their testimony. Now, verse number 6, and whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. He said, we're going through it too. A lot of times we think, well, I'm the only one that's going through this. Other people going through things.
Right.
Or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. You know what he's saying?
Amen.
That Paul's going through that stuff, and he said, we're going through all this stuff right here so other people will have a good testimony. You know what? Oftentimes we forget, man, we're going through things. Life just gets hard sometimes.
Yes, it does.
And we forget, maybe this is not about me.
That's
I may be going through this for someone, just for
right.
the particular purpose, but to help somebody else.
That's right.
And y'all, that's hard to keep on our mind, but y'all, that's the truth of the matter. And look at verse 7. It says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also, or so shall ye be also of the consolation. He said, just as sure as you're getting these sufferings, you're also going to get comfort from God. So just rest assured. If you're getting sufferings and you're hurting, you're going to get consolation from Christ too. And I can tell you, I can testify to that fact, and I know many of you can, that you've had bad things happen. But yes, look at all the consolation you got from it. Look at all the help. Look at how the Christians stepped in and helped. And look at all the prayers and people stepped up to the plate. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Now, I got this underlined in my Bible. Trouble which came to us. So I got underlined. Trouble came to us in Asia that we were pressed out of measure above strength. Now, watch this. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. So trouble came to us insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now look here, that's the Apostle Paul. Despair. He got so discouraged. He's like, what's the use? Y'all, I can tell you something. You got to get to the place. A lot of people say, I'd never feel like that. Well, Apostle Paul did. You can get to the place where you get to where you say, what's this all for anyway? What in the world am I even doing? And you get discouraged. And Paul said, man, we despaired of life. He said, man, y'all, that's a tough statement to read. But you got to realize, look what all he got whipped. He got beat. He got stoned. He was in the ocean. People, all his friends left him at one place. He got to the place, y'all, where he said, man, what is this even for? I've despaired of life. Well, y'all, you're reading about a man who's had his own self. He's had awful thoughts and thought, man, what is life even worth? Is this thing even worth doing? Y'all, you're gonna get there sometimes. But you know what? The only way he got through it is realizing that Christ can get him through. Y'all, that's the only way to get through. Why? Because if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, guess what? Every one of us, we think we're strong. Look, if the devil were turned loose on us for half a second, he knows exactly what it would take to break the last straw. And I'm telling you, that's why we can't be haughty. That's why you can't get to the place where you trust yourself. Why is it? But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. They had a death sentence on Paul. One place, these one place people in Acts 23, I believe it was, they took a vow and said, we're not going to eat anything until we kill Paul. They had a death sentence on them. It says there that we should not trust in ourselves. Look at there. But in God, which raiseth the dead. They kill me, God can raise me back up. Y'all, all this stuff is going on. He got to the place where he even wanted despaired of life. And that Bible says the whole thing was that we realize we can't trust in ourselves. You know why? Because you get thinking, I'm reading my Bible, praying, going to church. You know, you fix yourself up real good. And I hadn't done anything bad in a little while. I'm pretty good, you know. You know what he's saying? You better watch it.
That's right.
You'll be in a place, it won't be long. You'll be so messed up. You'll have your testimony messed up and everything else around you messed up, messing up church and everything else. Why? If you trust in yourself, oftentimes God will let things happen to us so we won't trust in ourselves. You know what the Lord's kind enough to leave enough fleas on us for us to realize we're still dogs.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you, we get to the place where we think we're real good, and we start itching. And the Lord says, you better watch out. Why? Our soul is saved, but we're still in this old flesh body.
That's right.
And brother, if it wasn't for God helping us, this thing would take over us.
It'd
completely take over. Now that's why he's about to say this in verse 10, and I'll try to get a little bit of it. Here, because this is a whole class lesson here. It says in verse 10, it's one of my favorite verses as far as sanctification goes. You got threefold deliverance. He said, who delivered us from so great a death?
That's right.
All right, there's first. And doth deliver. That's another deliverance. In whom we trust that he will deliver us. Now, on first reading, I remember I read that as a kid. I said, that don't make any sense. He delivered, but he delivers, and then he's going to deliver. What's that talking about? Number one, when you got saved, you got delivered. That's the first deliverance he's talking about. From the penalty of sin. Why? Because as far as my salvation is concerned, my sin will never be brought into question. Why? Because my sins were placed on Christ. Sin's done. The Bible said, who delivered us? I'm delivered, as far as that's concerned. But I'm still in this old flesh body. So guess what he does? That Bible said, it says, and doth deliver. So guess what? Now, I'm presently, I'm being delivered from the power of sin. Why is that? Because I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and because I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, I can say no to sin. I can yield to the Spirit, and I can put the flesh down because I've got that power, and the Bible said, who doth deliver. Why? Because he's been telling you all these sufferings are going on. You shouldn't trust in yourself. It's Christ. Why? He delivered from the penalty of sin on the cross. You trust him. You're being delivered presently right now from the power of sin. But one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come back. And guess what? I'm going to be delivered from the presence of sin. Why? Because I'm going to have a new body. I was delivered from the penalty of sin. I am being delivered from the power of sin because I can yield to the Lord. And one of these days, I'm going to have a sinless body. I'm going to be delivered from the presence of sin. So you know what that is? He's talking about sanctification here. There's a threefold tense of sanctification. Number one, that penalty of sin is initial. That's initial sanctification. Initially. Look, you got to realize something. A lot of these people, they think, well, I just hadn't cleaned up enough. I hadn't done this, that. Christ is cleaning you up, but as far as your soul, it's clean. It's clean. The slate is wiped clean.
That's right.
It's initially, that's your initial sanctification. It's done. I'll give you one. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn back here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you a few verses previous to that. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, hold on just a minute now. I don't inherit salvation. You can do these things and still go to heaven, but you will not have an inheritance in the kingdom. I don't inherit salvation. I trust Christ for salvation. He's talking about an inheritance. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Now, aren't there Christians who've done that? Yes, and they're just as saved as anybody. Idolaters. Guess what? A lot of people say, "I don't have any idols at my house." Oh yeah, you worship that job, and you worship that car, and you worship that house, and you worship that grass. A lot of people worship grass. And why? Because they take more care of the yard than they do of their soul. All right? It says this right here, "nor adulterers," plenty of that, "nor effeminate." You know what effeminate is? It's just not stepping in and being a man for Christ.
That's right.
It's not that you have to dress a certain way or look a certain way. Effeminate, Christ was a man. And we're supposed to serve Christ with boldness and not be scared of what this world thinks of us.
There you go.
This effeminate world so scared. I'm so scared of what so-and-so thinks. Y'all, that's being effeminate, man. And that's like this political correctness. That is effeminate. Huh. So worried about what somebody will think. Y'all, the old timers, y'all older than me, y'all know, this old political, they would laugh at this stuff years ago. Just laugh about it. Nowadays you can't call a boy a boy anymore. They just call him a person. Well, guess what? Son is in person, so there's still a male quality in there. Well, just call them humans. Human. You can't get away from it. And I tell you, man, this thing, effeminate, look at it, "nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I don't inherit, but you can lose your inheritance. You can get there, some people gonna get there by the skin of their teeth.
Right.
While they're saved, and that's it. They're gonna be like that thief. They didn't do anything. They just got in. All right, but watch this. "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You know what he's saying? Initially, God don't even see all that stuff. Why? Because you're saved. Your soul is saved.
That's right.
He said he used to see you as that way, but he can't see you that way. Now all he sees is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now outside of that, you got something else going on that has to do with your progressive sanctification. This message I'm giving you, if Baptists and Pentecostals and all these other people would understand this, they'd understand that you can't lose your salvation. Why? There's threefold sanctification. God does things in threes. All right? So that's the power of sin. That's progressive. What's that? That's daily. That's daily. Daily, you're getting close. You're supposed to be getting closer to the Lord. Now watch this. 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we were just there earlier. And Brother Mike, now this is something here. If you want to get in the will of God, a lot of people say, "Well, what's the will of God for my life?" I tell you, here's one of them right here, just listed. It's just as plain as you can get it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 3 tells you.
That's right.
"For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Hey, what are you saying? You want to get sanctified, separated from the world, and separated unto God? If you want to do that right there, you're going to abstain from things. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's just physical. Look, anytime, even James will tell you, and that'll fit any dispensation, anytime you love something else more than you love God, that is spiritual fornication, that's spiritual adultery.
Exactly right.
We're stepping out on God. Anytime we get to the place where we'd rather do something else than put God first, that's spiritual. And part of your sanctification is getting to the place where you would rather have intimate fellowship with the Lord than you have anything else. You got to get to the place where you know you wouldn't have your family, you know you wouldn't have your finances, you wouldn't ever have your friends, and you wouldn't have those the clothes you got on your back if it wasn't for the Lord, and you start putting Him first.
That's right.
Guess what? From the power of sin, progressive, and you get close to the Lord. Now here's the last thing. It's your final. That's complete redemption. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's your final. That's your final. Sanctification, complete redemption. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse number 12. It says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as you do, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." One of these days, that final part is going to be done. And guess what He's going to do? Yeah, He delivered. He doth deliver, but one day He will yet deliver. We've been delivered. We're being delivered right now, and one day we're going to be delivered. That's how it makes sense. Why? I'm clean. I'm washed as far as my soul. I want to walk clean with the Lord progressively each day, getting closer to the Lord. Why? That's part of you progressively growing. And then right here one day, I'm going to finally be done with sin. I won't have to sin again. I tell you what, if I don't get to do anything else, I can't wait for the day where I don't sin anymore and I don't have to filter all these thoughts and wonder, is that a godly thought? Or is that an ungodly thought? Is that a godly decision or an ungodly? Every decision I make and every thought I have will be pleasing the Lord.
Exactly right.
I'm ready for that, brothers. I'm telling you. I can't wait to not have to fight myself all the time. Let's close out if we could. Brother Mike, close us out.